That's beautiful. All right, I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. I want to welcome those that have joined us via the internet. We're always happy to hear when people do that. And I, again, never cease to be amazed at the outreach. I went to a ball game yesterday afternoon and came home and didn't check the messages, and I should have. There was a message on there I listened to this morning from a young lady who had been listening to some messages on the internet. She didn't say how she found the website, and I don't know where she lives. Can't pronounce the name that was on the caller ID. But she says she fears she's lost and she needs to talk to somebody. So I'll be talking to her this afternoon, and you pray for that young lady. There again, just the resource of the internet. And I appreciate that. I was thinking about we're back here setting up the tables, and people are so willing to help. You know, it's kind of, I walked in, I said, I oversold. We got too many chairs. Take some back. And I was thinking about a story I heard years ago about a young lady that was dating a fella, and they wanted to get married, but she was a Catholic, and her parents told her, said, you cannot marry that young man until you sell him on being a Catholic. And so they continued to date, and her parents would ask her how it was going. She said, well, we're making progress. Said, we're making progress. And so one night she came in from a date, and she was just crying. And her mother said, what's the matter? She said, we're not getting married. She said, you couldn't sell him on it? She said, no, I oversold. He's going to be a priest. All right. I don't know why I want to tell that, but I did. Exodus chapter 20. I said 19. That's just chapter 20, a passage that contains what we refer to as the Ten Commandments, which are there listed. And I want to read this, and then I want you to look in Romans chapter 13, and I want to talk to you about the law of love. I want to start here because I want you to understand that when we talk about not being under the law, we understand that we are not to be lawless. We're not to be lawless. And we find that pointed out in Paul's epistles. Now, Paul said, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful, but not everything edifies. And Paul says, all things are lawful unto me, but I'll not be brought under the power of any. So many times when people learn about grace, they take the attitude that it should have no influence upon their life. Well, I think that's a misconception. And this is not a message about do's and don'ts today, but I just want to point out some principles in Paul's epistles in relationship to the life we live in Christ Jesus. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or it's in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Notice the condition of God's mercy there. Notice what he says in verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord shall not hold him guiltless which taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in six days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, you'll notice there that those first four commandments deal with man's relationship with God. Verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The fifth commandment deals with a person's relationship with their parents, and that of honor. The next five commandments deal with man's relationship with man. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Now, I want you to turn over to Matthew chapter 5. I told you Romans 13, we're on our way over there. But stop in Matthew 5. In Matthew 5, verse 43, Jesus Christ speaking, you have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. And notice there in verse 44, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. Now, go over to Romans chapter 13. In Romans chapter 12, Paul talks about presenting your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto the Lord. And then he lists many things, many words of instruction there. Like in verse 9, he says, let love be without dissimulation. That is hypocrisy. There are numerous times in your Bible that Paul talks about loving one another. In Romans chapter 13, notice there in verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In other words, what I see being said there is that Paul, in effect, is saying, if you love your neighbor as yourself, you would have no need for those other four commandments or those five commandments being reiterated over and over again. Those commandments were given to the nation Israel, and they were to govern the life of the nation Israel. Paul said in Romans chapter 7 that we're not under the law. We've been made free from the law. So what is it that governs us? It is the law. What ought to govern us is the law of love. Now, what is that law of love? It has to do with the fact that God gave His Son. He loved us first. He died for our sins. Thus Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the love of Christ constraineth me. Many people misinterpret that and have that as our love for Christ constraineth us. It's not what he's saying. It's Christ's love for us that constrains us. That is always the model. That is always the mold. That is always the picture that is presented, is that our love ought to reflect the love that God Almighty had for us as doomed, damned, and lost sinners. Christ loved us and gave himself for us. And so we have this law of love in effect that so many times, because of our carnality, because of our flesh, we just basically ignore it. Don't pay a lot of attention to it. Paul said, owe no man anything but to love one another. Now I want you to notice over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 Corinthians 13, Paul speaks here about charity. And most of every translation that you read will take charity in 1 Corinthians 13 and change it to love. It's referred to as the great love chapter. Well, love and charity are not the same things. Amen. Number one, they're not spelled alike. Number two, if you look them up in a dictionary, they don't have the same definition. Charity has to do with giving something that you have to someone else. Love has to do with your attitude toward people, and it wouldn't always involve charity. It could. But I believe that charity, coming from the word that it comes from, that Greek word agape, and you look in the Bible, you'll find that there are several words that are translated love. There's that Greek word, and I don't want to get into the Greek here, but you know, every now and then you got to try to show that you know something. But there's a Greek word, philo, philo, that's brotherly love. It's where Philadelphia comes from, the city of brotherly love. There's another one, eros, that has to do with romantic love. So there are different words that are translated love, but it's interesting when you get over to 1 Corinthians 13, it's not translated love, it's translated charity, and that's for a reason, that's to show that there is a difference. Amen. Paul says there in 1 Corinthians 13, 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Now notice, charity never faileth. But where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. In the context, the Apostle Paul is addressing an issue that exists there at Corinth. If you go back to chapter 12, verse 1, he says, concerning spiritual gifts, I would not have you to be ignorant. And the spiritual gifts there were being misused. And Paul is in chapter 13 showing that there's something greater than the spiritual gifts. It's called charity. It's that supreme, it's the love that Christ had when he went there to the cross. He gave. You see, charity has to do with giving. Look over in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Look back up in verse 1 of chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Jesus Christ, as we talked about last week when we talked about the cross, gave the ultimate gift, the ultimate sacrifice, in that he gave himself as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. Now that's charity, folks. That's what giving is about. In other words, he took upon himself the former servant, became in the likeness of men. Go back to Romans again. In Romans chapter 15. In Romans 15, verse 1, we then that are strong, that'd be all of us. That was a joke. Ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, that's everybody else, and not to please ourselves. Now notice what he said. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. You see, what this law of love does, when it governs our life, it always, as I say, if it was operating according to the Word of God, what that law of love would do would cause us to consider how our actions, how our words, how our attitude is going to affect other people, the other person. That's the example. He said, even Christ pleased not himself. What do? We do what we find pleasing to ourselves. Notice I got all these fingers pointing back at me. I'm not pointing at you. The human nature is that of self-preservation, doing that which benefits self. It results in pride. It results in ego. And many times we do things that might be hurtful to other people simply to satisfy the needs or the lust of our flesh. Back in chapter 13, notice the debt that we owe. The debt that we owe one toward another. Now, keep in mind, Brother Jerry touched on some of these things last Sunday morning. In 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul talks about the commandments that he wrote to the Thessalonians, of the church of Thessalonians. In 1 Corinthians 14, he said, if any man be spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. And I'll ask you something. In the dispensation of the grace of God, do we have some commandments? You better believe we do. They're not the law. It's not the law of Moses. We've got commandments or instructions, folks. And they're not to our harm. They're to our benefit. You see, the difference is, under the law, people kept that law. One of the motivating factors of keeping that law was fear. Why, if a person committed adultery, you know what happened to them under the law? They were put to death. Talking about reducing the population of America. Aren't you glad we're under grace? Well, you see, just because we don't have the fear of God striking us dead doesn't mean we ought to commit adultery, fornication, all these other things that we see listed here. Stealing. I mean, he goes right down the list. What's the motivation? Owe no man anything but to love one another. That's what the instruction is. He says, that's the debt that we owe one to another. Love. And then he says, for this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. You see, I get the idea among many people that simply because God is not exercising his wrath and there's not the consequence of God on these things, somehow people feel like they're all okay. But then there's always that verse in Galatians. You reap what you sow. If you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. And see, people get that all confused. I mean, people do bad things, and bad things happen as a result of it, and they say, well, see, God's getting them. God's punishing them. God's not punishing anybody today for anything. We're in the dispensation of the grace of God. And just because your car breaks down, or you end up in the hospital, or your head hurts, or your you stumped your toe. You know, I mean, people are so superstitious. I heard a definition the other day of superstitious and or superstition, and it's believing that one act causes another. That's what superstition is. So somebody walks through the bedroom and they stump their toe. Well, God's trying to get my attention. You know how God's trying to get your attention? Through this book. And he wants you to understand that you're living in the dispensation of the grace of God. And there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. We enjoy the grace of God. We appreciate the grace of God. But in Romans chapter 6, Paul said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. You see, we may not have... We have a responsibility one to another, folks, based on these verses, right? Owe no man anything but to love one another. You don't have the responsibility of providing for others. I mean, you're told to if there's a need. But the fact is, what you do have responsibility to do is to love one another. And if you love one another, he said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it's briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, just like Christ said back in the book of Matthew. The law of love. And by the way, verse 10 is very important. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. If you do things that causes ill to other people, intentionally, that's not love. You know what that is? That's self-love. Self-will. Love. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 1, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. You see, that'll go right along with what we're talking about there in 1 Corinthians 13, why Paul wrote that chapter. Because these at Corinth, they didn't love one another. They weren't showing charity. It was more important to them to do their own thing. And that's what he addresses over and over and over again in the book. That's why he says in 1 Corinthians 14:1, follow after charity. Follow after charity. Look in 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. In verse 13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity. Let all your things be done with charity. A theme throughout the book of Corinthians. Look over in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Well, look in chapter 5, verse 1 first. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Look in verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Notice the last part, but by love serve one another. You see what your liberty does? Your liberty interferes when you take advantage of it with your love one for another, or it can. It doesn't always. But he said, you've been called unto liberty, but don't use your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. By love, serve one another, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. And you know, there are people who believe this Bible, or they say they do. They preach the word, they teach the word, and so forth. But when it comes down to loving people, it's like they're exempt from that. And in effect, they said, I am not going to obey the word of God when it comes to that. Love one another. Notice over in we've already read there, Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says, walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us. Look in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1. You know, when you just do a word study and you go through Paul's epistles, you get the idea that God was a little bit concerned about people not loving one another. Because it's reiterated over and over and over again. You know why? Because it's the law that we operate under. Amen. We don't have a list of commandments, list of rules and regulations. We don't have a church covenant that says you got to do this, this, and this. You got to give your money. Give it. No, we don't have all that kind of stuff. All that's just religion. We don't make rules and regulations to try to govern the life of people. But the fact is, the Bible, you see, the reason this is so important, did you notice in those verses where Paul references the law, he says it's all summarized in one statement. It's all summarized just as one statement. Thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. Now, if I ask everybody in here that loves their neighbors herself to raise their hand, if you raised your hand, you'd probably be lying. So I'm not going to ask you to lie. It's a hard thing to do. You know why? Because we're so full of self. We're so full of flesh. Ego. Notice what I say. Philippians chapter 1. Notice there in verse 8. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. How people can read verses like that and have the idea that God has no concern about how we live or how we act. So it's just beyond me. There's one after another. Look over in Colossians chapter, well, right here in Philippians chapter 2 in verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Look in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 1. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. You see, in those last two passages, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, he said, your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge. You see, there's this superficial love that people have. But to love people according to knowledge is to love people like God desires us to love them. And that has to do with that charity, with that giving of self. Now, we have, like I said, there's superficial. You know, people talk about love and we love one another, and then turn around and say, by the way, if anybody ever says to you, I love Brother Jerry But turn around and run. Don't listen to the last part of it. If they say, I love Brother Steve, but you can just depend that they're fixing to take the knife and stick it in a little bit and turn it just a little bit. Why do people do that? Because they want you to believe that what they're telling you is on the basis of love. Love comes from the heart, folks. Love has to do with an attitude of selflessness. And Paul said that your hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. Notice over in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians 3. Verse 12. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, almonds of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also ye. There in verse 12, put on as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy. All of those things. You see, there's the putting on of that. That's the love. Notice in 1 Thessalonians 1. In 1 Thessalonians 1. Every letter that Paul writes to churches, to groups, he mentions this. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Now, you know there's something interesting about the Thessalonians. He says he's thankful for their work of faith and their labor of love. But notice what brought that about. Look over in chapter 2 and verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You see, because we've been taught most of our life that love is a feeling, we have this idea that if we don't feel a certain way toward people, that, you know, you can't manufacture that. So love has to do with your actions. It doesn't have to do with your feeling. It doesn't have to do with what you say. It has to do with your actions one toward another. It's the fulfilling of the law, he said. Now notice in chapter 3, 1 Thessalonians 3. Verse 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. As I said, there's no doubt that God, in inspiring the writings of the Apostle Paul, foresaw and foreknew, as he does all things, the conflict that would exist between individuals because of their flesh. And that conflict has to do with us not loving one another, not doing that which is to their benefit. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And that's why there is so much division and so much conflict today in the church, the body of Christ. Because people would rather be right. People would rather be acknowledged as right and knowledgeable than be acknowledged as being loving and kind. And I don't believe for a moment you ought to compromise the truth. That's not what I'm talking about. But I want to tell you something. You can disagree with a brother in Christ without ever diminishing your love for him, if you do it in a manner that's according to the Word of God. Look back again in Romans chapter 13 and we'll wrap this up. in Romans chapter 13, where we started out. Romans 13, verse 9. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it's briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, how is it that love, would bring about the right action toward, a reaction toward all these things? Well, just think about it. Thou shalt not commit adultery. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to commit adultery with your neighbor's spouse. Thou shalt not steal. Come on. I mean, you're going to take something from somebody else that's not yours? These are very elementary type things. I remember as a boy, the first time I stole something, it just ate away at me. We were playing with these little cars in the dirt, you know, and this friend of mine, all the other kids had better toys than I did, but it's because we was poor. And so when he wasn't looking, I got that little car and I stuck it in my pocket. And so when I got home, my mother found it there in my bedroom. She said, "Where'd you get this?" I said, "He gave it to me." Steve Snow was the fellow's name. He's a Jew. His mom and daddy were Jewish. I remember going over to the house and lighting candles around Christmas time. I stole his little truck. And my mother saw it, and I lied to her about it. That night, I would go to sleep and dream that the devil was after me. And I'd get up and turn the light on. And my mother and daddy was up and down all night smoking cigarettes. And so they'd come by the door there and see the light on, turn it off. As soon as they'd leave, I'd go back and turn it on. I mean, you talk about conscience. And, you know, there's many times when I have thought about, I hate to admit this, being your preacher, taking something that maybe wasn't mine, you know, like getting too much change and say, "Whoa, windfall here." It's like we were at Lowe's one day and paying for our purchase at the self-service counter. Will was pretty small at the time, and we walked up there and somebody had put in apparently a pretty big denomination of money, and all the change came back in bills there, and Will grabbed that out and said, "Jackpot!" I said, "Will, you can't keep that money." "Well, why not? I found it." I said, "Because it belongs to somebody." I said, "We got to take it to this lady up here." And it just ate him alive that I wouldn't let him keep that. He didn't see that as stealing it at all. But I thought, I mean, I've had situations like that, you know, where you think, well, it's not that big a deal. Paul said, "Let him that stole steal no more." You're not going to steal from somebody if you love them. You're not going to bear false witness against somebody if you love them. Say, "Well, I heard this and I heard this about so-and-so and I just think you ought to know." Well, if you're going to make witness about somebody, be sure it's true. And by the way, even if it is, you don't always have to repeat it. You see, I'm just looking at these things in a practical sense, and I just want you to consider that we're not under the law. We're not under the punishment of God. All things are lawful, but we are under that law of love that Paul demonstrates here when he says, "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." If we would allow that love to govern our lives and to dictate how we act toward other people, first thing I believe would happen most of the time is that we would speak the truth to them. We'd give them the gospel, speaking the truth in love. If you love people, Tell them the truth. If you love people, show them how to rightly divide the word of truth. Show them the liberty they have in Christ. I used to get so outdone years ago when Brother Moore would preach. And time and time and time again, I heard people say, he is just so hateful. He's so unloving. And I knew, not to the full extent, I'm sure, but I knew the things that Brother Moore had suffered in order to take the stand that he stood for in rightly dividing the word of truth. Listen, if a man's willing to come and preach the truth unto you, whether you like it or not, that's not that he doesn't like you, it's because he loves you. That's the love of Christ that constraineth us. And because we thus judge that if one died, Christ died for all. We were all dead in sins, and Christ loved us and gave himself for us. And it behooves us as saved individuals to manifest that love, not some false imitation, but the love of Christ that works no ill toward his neighbor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. You want to? People want to follow the law today? There's the one to follow right there. The law of love given through our apostle, the Apostle Paul. That is all based upon what we read about Christ's love for us. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice. Have you ever accepted that sacrifice? This lady that called me, after reading the messages, hearing some of the messages on the internet, she said, I am just so distraught. She said, I grew up in church. I've always gone to church. She said, but from what you're saying on these messages, I don't think I'm saved. How I hurt this morning that I didn't get to call her back last night. But I will. But you know what? The answer for that woman is the same answer for everybody. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, just receive the free gift. Receive it as a gift. Nothing you can do to merit it. Christ's love provided it. Receive him. All right. We're going to have prayer here in a moment for...